Since Scientology is so secretive, it's hard to get the inside story about what really goes on there. But Mark Headley knows firsthand. He spent 15 years working for the Church of Scientology, averaging, he says, over 100 hours a week and being paid less than 50 cents an hour. Headley eventually became a key staff member of Scientology's international management headquarters in California. But he left the church in 2005. He chronicles his experiences in his book, Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. Mark Headley tells Anne Strangechamps about his encounters with one of the world's most famous Scientologists.
Tom Cruise was, in Scientology, what they call an auditor, and I was his pre-clear, which is the person that's subject to the auditing.
What's an auditor?
An auditor is someone in Scientology who does processing, Scientology processing on somebody. They have what they call the bridge to total freedom, and it has a processing side and it has a training side. And an auditor is someone who practices the processing on another person and moves them through all these different processes that could take anywhere from a month to a year to get through a certain step of this processing. And when Tom Cruise started as an auditor, he had to audit somebody. That's the role that I played. I was the person that he was auditing on these very introductory and basic Scientology processing tasks that he did on me.
He was training on you.
That's correct. I was kind of like his guinea pig.
So what did he do? What did this involve?
Basically, very introductory, what they're called training routines, and introductory auditing commands, where you're basically indoctrinating the person to be able to get audited and to do basic processing. And it's kind of a gradient approach to then you're going to then move on to doing more advanced processing on this person. But in order for them to be able to do that, they have to get through these rudimentary procedures and sort of get indoctrinated on how auditing and processing works in Scientology. So there's a lot of people that talk about, you know, in Scientology, some of these early things where you talk to an ashtray and you're walking over to them, touching walls and windows and stuff like that. And that's the sort of processing that he did on me.
Wait, you talk to an ashtray?
That's correct. You yell at an ashtray.
Why?
It's to show you that you can have control over an object and you can get the intention that you have in your mind. You can communicate it across a space into an object. And it's not that easy to explain.
Is the ashtray supposed to do something?
Well, you physically move the ashtray as you're yelling at it. So you tell the ashtray to stand up. You don't just use like a little small ashtray. You use a really big, like 8-inch by 8-inch thick glass ashtray, and you tell it to stand up, and then you lift it out of a chair, and then you tell it to sit down, and then you put it back in the chair. And this can go on for hours upon hours, day after day, until you can confidently and successfully do this.
Are you telling me that Tom Cruise sat with you for like hours and hours telling you to yell at an ashtray and then move it around the room and then tell it thank you?
That is exactly correct. We also played with books and bottles, and he asked me all sorts of questions, and we did a lot of this on the E-meter, which is a sort of a device, an electric device they use in Scientology and in Scientology auditing and counseling.
So when you were still in the Scientology community and, you know, working at a fairly high level, did you believe all the Scientology teachings, or were you just going through the motions? I mean, for example, did you believe the idea that a human is an immortal alien?
Well, I grew up in it, so I didn't know anything else. I didn't know any better. I didn't know anything differently. And when you're in Scientology, you're pretty much indoctrinated that Scientologists are a smarter, more advanced breed of person, that you're better than everyone else, so that if anybody else said this is the way it was and it was contrary to Scientology, then you would just look down on it and be like, oh, they're crazy.
Now, you also had a fair amount of contact with the Church of Scientology's leader, David Miscavige. What did you think of him?
I'd really never had anyone to compare him to until I left, and I saw a documentary on Jonestown. And that's the only person that I've ever seen or heard about that I think would most closely match him in terms of being very charismatic and being someone who can convince people to do things and who rub shoulders with the politicians and the celebrities and then, you know, pass out the Kool-Aid. That's the only person I could really compare him to, just because he is a tyrant. I've seen him physically assault Scientology's highest executives.
Assault how?
They've denied it and they've, you know, said, oh, these are all lies. And then eventually more and more people who had also witnessed these abuses started coming out and then telling their stories. And they were all exactly the same. Yes, David Miscavige, he slaps people, punches people, hits them, throws them to the ground, all these insane things. At a certain point, when I kind of decided that I really needed to expose what I knew and basically tell as much as I could, was after I'd seen this documentary on Jonestown, because I truly believe if they passed out the Kool-Aid tomorrow, that the people that I worked with would drink it in a second. And I just thought, this is crazy. You know, how is this possible that this could be happening in a modern day group and society?
There's one really weird episode you describe involving some kind of perversion of the musical chairs game that David Miscavige used.
That's correct. We were basically assembled by David Miscavige, and we were told that we were going to play a game of musical chairs. And essentially, whoever lost a chair was going to be shipped off to far corners of the world to do menial and demeaning jobs in Scientology organizations, like cigarette butt cleaner upper and toilet scrubbing in charge and sort of things like this. And as people lost chairs and were separated from their wives or their husbands, and it was a very dramatic, insane episode that occurred, and it went on for hours. And eventually one woman was the one left, and David Miscavige said, okay, good, you can stay here and work with me, and everybody else is out of here. And he went so as far to have plane tickets printed up for people so that they knew he wasn't joking. They were absolutely being shipped off to wherever it was to do these very, very demeaning punishments for could be years on end. And then the next morning, it was like it never happened. And he was like, oh, no, it's going to cost too much money to ship you guys all over the place. So no one's going anywhere.
Did you actually witness that?
I was there. I was one of the people. I fought with a gentleman named Marty Rathbun over a chair. And I think I ended up throwing him to the ground to get the chair over him sitting in it.
Mark, by far the most dramatic story you tell in the book is the story of your own departure from the Church of Scientology. You literally had to escape, and people came after you. Can you tell the story?
Yeah, well, in addition to them just not letting you leave in the first place, between the barbed wire fences and the armed guards, etc., if you do, in fact, manage to escape, in my case, they chased me down in a security SUV. I was fleeing the property on a motorcycle, and I was driving down the road. And after them repeatedly nudging me or yelling out the window for me to pull over or to return to the property, they essentially just ran me off the road, just slowly nudged me over as we were driving, and there was no more shoulder left, and I crashed the motorcycle. The security officer that was driving the vehicle got out of the vehicle, grabbed the key out of my bike, and basically insisted that I return to the property, get in the SUV, and they were taking me back. At that point, I waved down passing motorists, and the security guard threw the key to my motorcycle back to me. I sort of gathered myself and got the bike. The bike was slightly damaged. And within minutes of me getting kind of back on the road, they continued to follow me. And then they just turned around and drove back. And 10 seconds, 30 seconds later, Riverside County Sheriff's Department vehicle pulled me over, and they had a 911 call that there was some gentlemen fighting on the highway, and basically the police escorted me to safety into the nearby town. And that is the only reason that I was able to escape. If those police would not have shown up when they did, I would be there to this day. I almost am certain of it.
Mark Headley is the author of Blown for Good, behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. He spoke with Anne Strangechamps. Hedley's wife Claire left the church shortly after he did. We requested an interview with a spokesperson for the Church of Scientology, but they declined. Their response reads, and I quote, "You stated that the subject of your program is what we believe. Of your three Scientology-related guests, none of them are qualified to address the topic of what we believe." End quote. What do you think of Scientology? You can share your opinions by sending us email through our website at ttbook.org. You'll also find links to our Facebook page and Twitter account there.